Hey, everybody. We're Bob and Audrey, a husband and wife team.
And this is our podcast all about relationships.
We are marriage and relationship enthusiasts, believing there is a God-given design to thrive in both life and love.
And we think that Jesus is amazing and worth following with everything you have. On this podcast, we are putting together the truths and best practices we have learned over our 35 years of marriage, and more specifically, over the past 18 years, where we have spent our lives helping people love their relationships.
After getting through our own family crisis, we became passionate about rescuing and mentoring others. We have authored numerous books and developed on-demand courses that can be found on our website, lovemarriedlife.com.
And with all that said, let's dive into the episode for this week.
And welcome to this week's episode of All About Relationships. This is episode number 51.
And it really is our joy to be with you today. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite things in life that we get to have this time. It's pretty much every week where we get to involve ourselves in your journey, just knowing that there's so much hope and happiness ahead, and there are so many things to anticipate.
Yeah, and I just want to simply say hi to all our friends.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of qualify yourself as one.
Yes,
you know,
please.
You really, really are. And some of you we've met, some we've chatted with.
Some we will meet one day.
Some we will meet really one day, but you're a friend.
And Bob, maybe we shall even hug one day, because I am determined to start a hug revolution.
I did that the other day.
Did you grab somebody?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
no.
It was, well, not grabbed, you know, but I gave him a hug and they said, we're doing this?
I guess we did that.
It was your mother.
Oh.
It was Mother's Day.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
You know, and so it's been a long time, but it was Mother's Day, and I walked in, I gave her a hug, and she just kind of like, oh, so we're doing that? And I'm like,
whoops.
Okay. You used to be very grateful for these.
Oh, you guys, sometimes we just have to laugh. Oh, it's gonna be a good session today, a good episode.
Well, what we want to do is help bring solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, I think, a marriage myth. I like breaking those. And there's a marriage myth out there where people tend to believe that married life is hard.
Hard work. It is grueling. You better get ready. You better know what you're doing when you get married, because it's going to be hard.
Hard work. So we want to talk about that today and help bring some solutions and again, maybe elevate and bring a different perspective.
Yes.
Can it be challenging?
Absolutely. Yeah. Do we need to be married
with
intention?
Do we always agree? No.
Right.
Okay. So we're going
to
talk about...
Do we work at this sometimes and have to die to self?
Yes.
Yeah. But boy, just the general consensus that marriage is hard. Bob and I really want to debunk that, because, you know, that isn't something I would look forward to every day.
Right. Oh boy, I woke up to difficulty. All right, here we go. All right, now. Did you wake up grumpy? No, I just left her there.
Oh, dear.
Okay. All right, here we go. Now.
That was such a bad joke.
Okay, now, I want to talk about, this is something that happened. I mean, there's all kinds of live events happening on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are meeting, you know.
Yeah.
Virtual meetings, church get together, praying together, you know, connecting, all that kind of stuff. And so we've had, you know, several invitations and have been a part of, you know, different
live events,
people's events.
Mm-hmm.
And
so this is in addition to all the online consulting and coaching and counseling that we do.
So
this
pastor,
has been a
friends,
great honor.
People, yep,
yes.
Love
we get
it.
To be part of this honored, this moment that we're guests.
So one statement that kind of popped out, you know, this last week while we were doing this, and that is, you know, one of the greatest emotions or the sense and feeling that you want to have in a marriage is you want to feel safe.
Absolutely. And that's, instead of marriage being hard, wouldn't it be amazing if our heart belief, the true core of what we believe, is that marriage is the safest relationship in the world. It's where I can be most myself. You know, that should really be the ultimate. So anyway, at the end of last week, we were having so much fun with our friends and talking about couples and COVID. And at the end I said, hey guys, when we're done this video, what I'd love for you to do is you turn it off and just look into your spouse's eyes. Rather than just listening to talking heads, that's not going to change your life. We are all about the action plan. So when this clicks off, take a look at each other or find each other and just ask a very important and simple question. And that is, when do you feel the most safe with me? Mm. And so I said, hey, I'll
good
do
question.
Yeah. And so I said, hey, I'll do it right now. We're on video. I'll do it with Bob right now. And I looked at you, sweetie. And I said, hey, babe, like, when do you feel the most safe with me?
Being put on the spot. And so the first thing that came out of my mouth was, when you don't ask me a lot of questions.
Right. And I've heard that a lot.
You've heard that a lot over the years.
And I was born asking questions. Yeah. I used to drive my big brothers nuts because they said, will she ever stop asking questions?
You speak paragraphs in questions.
Right.
We'll start watching a movie and you start asking questions. And it's just like,
I have a curious mind. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, whoa, like when I don't ask questions. And then you turned around and asked me, when do you feel most safe?
When do you feel?
And I said, when you do ask me questions. Right. And we had a really good laugh and we thought, like, could we be more polar opposite? Like to think that the very way that I feel safe is when Bob asks me
lots of questions,
asks me how I'm doing, asks me how I slept last night, all of these things. So we had our good laugh
And it was actually just the next morning.
I was in the bathroom getting my morning, brushing my teeth or whatever. And Bob was in bed. And we have a great, big, huge, fluffy 10-year-old Labradoodle named Winston. He's pretty much the best dog in the world. He's Bob's best friend. Mm-hmm. And so as I was brushing my teeth, I heard Bob by the side of the bed saying, good morning, Winston. And he said, did you have a good sleep last night? Have you already been outside? Did you eat your breakfast already? And he said, are you feeling itchy? Are those allergies still bothering you? Mm-hmm. And he went on. And finally I stopped and I said, hey, Bob, I said, guess what? You have asked more kind questions to Winston right this minute than you ever have asked me in my whole life. I'm just letting you know. And it wasn't in an accusation way.
No, we were laughing.
It was lights on.
And I did. I did laugh.
You laughed pretty hard.
All of a sudden, I just realized what I did. But here's the wonderful thing is that the more time I spend with people, getting to know people, counseling people, the more I love my dog. No, I apologize.
That is rude.
That's bad.
That was plain old rude.
That morning I was laughing because I honestly just caught myself.
You did.
But here's the thing. He doesn't ask questions back.
And he doesn't even answer your questions.
No. And I'm totally good with that because but I knew that if I were to ask you, you know, all of those questions, it would be a long conversation. So I apologize.
We have so many, you know, the whole love language. We have many add to that because we don't feel like it's all in camp. You know, there's way more than five, but one of Bob's love language is just quiet. Just quietness.
I like quiet.
Yeah.
I love being together.
And you married
me. Quiet.
Yeah. And you married me.
And I married you.
One of our favorite activities in years past, Bob doesn't have a motorcycle anymore, but he used to love just days of riding in nature and motorcycle because we couldn't talk and I just straddled you. You know, it was kind of a happy day for you.
It was a fun day.
Okay.
Why?
Back to the subject at hand.
Why
is marriage hard?
Is being married hard?
Yeah.
Why is being married so hard? You have the talking, you have the listening, you have the understanding, you have the compromising, the arguing, the sacrificing that really is necessary in having a healthy, right relationship. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it feels much heavier than the joy, the happiness, the levity, the connection and passion that you really desire, you know, in the marriage.
Then
why is marriage so very, very hard? And there's a lot of things, you know, that just kind of you know, hit you wrong, and they kind of give you a little twist and you feel angst. And usually, and I've said this before, and it's just kind of a real blanket statement, but, you know, if you're struggling and having heartache, you know, and real difficulty in the marriage, it's usually because someone is being selfish. Yes. And that person is usually you. I know that's not a nice thing to say, but we live with unmet expectations.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, we label and determine that marriage is hard.
And you so, are my problem.
Well, I want you to be my answer.
And that's right.
You
and
see,
you're not,
and I'm living
you're
with that
answering.
Disappointment yes. that you're not fulfilling me. You're
so
not
therefore you're
answering
not
me.
Enough.
And
that's
so there's a
true.
Lot of selfishness that kind of gets fed into
yes,
that.
Yes.
And as well, life gets busy.
Right.
You see, we will finish our degrees, we'll change our jobs, we'll have children, we'll move, you know.
All these stress, high
yeah,
stress
have
situations.
Activities and other commitments. And all of a sudden, our marriage is mm-hmm. just another item on the list, and it just gets harder and harder.
And
then
of,
you add into that this whole COVID-19 season that we're in.
Instead of marriage being an energizing component, yeah. it becomes a draining, you yeah. know, it becomes that hard work.
So then why do I want to just simply throw in the towel some days?
Right.
You know, how can he or she be so annoying? You know, why do I respond with, you know, snarky, you know, sassy little attitudes? You know, why do I do that? You see, when is, and this is the big question, when will we hit a stride where it just feels easy?
Yeah.
Why does it always feel like we're going uphill?
Wearing backpacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because we understand that we love each other, mm-hmm. and the big question is, love shouldn't be this difficult.
Hmm.
It, you know, I mean,
good
that's
question.
The big one.
Yes.
Love shouldn't be that difficult, right?
Yeah, you know? And iron sharpens iron. So that's why you're almost revealing my selfishness. Like, living with you is revealing that part of me that it just feels like, yes, I do want my own way.
Well, the question is why is something that's supposed to be so good so
right.
hard?
Right.
And so, again, there comes the label, marriage is hard.
Thank you for that, Bob, because
okay.
you just validated where a lot of people are at.
Now, can I answer this?
Please.
I really do, because I hate the answer to this.
Okay.
And this is one that I think a lot of people, you know, kind of resolve. You see, if you label it hard, then mm-hmm. it's going to be hard.
I know.
Now I have to find a resolve with yes. that it's okay. Because it's supposed to be
now
this
you've
way.
Almost got an excuse.
Marriage, yes. So now marriage is supposed to be hard.
So we're just having normal. Normal.
Now,
this,
now
is normal.
Yep.
This is
now
normal. This is
normal.
Marriage is hard. It's hard for everybody. This is just what everyone has to deal with.
So here's the thing. If it weren't, then it didn't take, then it wouldn't take daily practice and dedication if it weren't hard. See, now
interesting
it's a
heart
task.
Belief.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then it wouldn't be special. But because it's so special, then it's hard.
Huh.
In this twisted.
That is so
for me, it is.
Yeah, it is.
You see, also, how about this? The wins wouldn't feel so great and the anniversaries wouldn't be such a celebration. Oh, hallelujah,
okay.
We made it another year.
I'm sorry, but I kind of hate that.
No, I'm telling you, this is the resolve that people, you know, come to be able to, in my opinion, live in pain.
That's
or
like
to
a,
live substandard to what marriage, I believe, really can be.
That's as dysfunctional as, I loved it when we fight because then we get to have makeup sex.
Yeah.
It's like another
oh,
one.
Oh, that's twisted. We won't
yeah.
go there today,
no,
but that's
not,
true. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the same kind of way of thinking. It's that whole mindset of, well, at least we can have our anniversary because we made it through another year.
Yeah. So here's another one. Hard
this
things are hard.
This is exhausting me, Bob.
Yeah, for a reason. And that's because the effort that goes in has the potential to yield something or someone amazing. And so the striving and the struggle that we
the
introduce.
Daily work.
Yeah. So what we learn in our marriage,
and there is some truth behind everything.
But I don't want this to be your resolve.
No.
And I don't want you to live there.
No.
But this I do know is that in marriage, it's completely unique. Mm-hmm. What you and I experience.
Totally. This relationship.
It's completely unique. What yes. you're experiencing in your relationship, very, very unique to you.
Challenges,
now, we can
unique.
Give principles. We can yeah. give help. We can give direction. But right. this is a journey that you and only you can take yourself.
It's custom. It's yours. There's no other relationship
because
like yours.
Because our problems are a special blend of our personality and circumstances.
Yay!
As will our triumphs and our victories and our wins.
Yeah, yeah.
So again.
Does it feel great? Okay, Bob. Yeah. Does it feel great that you and I can do this podcast with absolute transparency and vulnerability, knowing that we're not pretending or faking anything, and we're really loving our married life together? Yeah. Have we had seasons of hardship?
Oh my gosh. Long seasons.
Absolutely. And does that make it all worth it, that it was hard? Yeah. But does it have to stay hard? And do we have to live in the season of hard mm-hmm. for the rest of our life? Mm-hmm. That's what I want to debunk.
Right.
Because yes, there will be seasons where it is going to be hard work every single day. Marriage will have seasons of hard, but I was just reading in my decree book the other day, but the season of favor
yes.
lasts a lifetime. Mm-hmm. That's not and that season never ends. So I believe that our marriage can be under the season of favor, you know, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And we labor to a place of rest.
Yeah.
So all that planting seeds and farming and growing seeds, yeah, we weed out things, toil under the fields. You know, you think of just growing anything takes work and intention. But there's seasons when you grow a field.
Yeah.
There's seasons when you just eat the seed. There's seasons when you just eat, and there's seasons... But generally speaking, you can enjoy working on yeah. a farm even if it's work.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you can enjoy the feeling of getting stuff done and loving the growth and enjoying the mm-hmm. the rewards.
Mm-hmm. So marriage absolutely is a relationship where we're called to kind of set aside ourselves.
Yes.
And give preference.
Yes.
To another
that
one.
That I do believe.
Yeah. And because I say that doesn't negate a fairy tale ending.
Right.
To live happily ever after. Okay?
Yeah.
But with that, what will take you there is servitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, when you prefer another as being more important than yourself. So we'll talk about this, but
yeah.
I just wanted to kind of give people, hey, we've been here.
Yeah.
And marriage has been hard.
And we now, understand today, that mindset. Mm-hmm, we understand.
And we have had hard seasons.
Sure.
But I'm not going to live it. I do want to live with you happily ever after.
I want to live with you happily ever after. And I don't want to wake up and feel like this is such hard work today. Is it going to be intention? Do I love and make choices to love all the time? Yeah. So let's just deal with the idea that marriage is hard from a belief system standpoint, Bob, because what we believe in our heart comes to pass. And I feel that many people, in fact, even majority of people have been programmed, so to speak, to believe that marriage is hard work. Mm. Like you have a wedding, nice, beautiful wedding, but then get ready because after the honeymoon, yeah. it's over.
Yeah. And again, I don't want to fall into that.
Right.
However, I will say this. You're entering into a lifestyle that you've never experienced before. You know, you're spending days with each other in different ways. You're going to bed and waking up different. You're seeing, you're experiencing each other different. So there is a lot of new, and
there continues to be. Mm-hmm. Last week, you and I had that funny little situation with Winston, and we went to the next level of understanding each other. Like it never yeah, ends. Like
right.
we constantly are getting to know each other. But let's just go back.
But if I come from the premise that you're a problem.
Right.
And that marriage is a problem.
That's all I'll see.
I'll always see a problem.
Yeah. We just had an amazing, Bob, I'm just going to throw this in there. This week, in fact, yesterday we had we've been having an ongoing online intensive with somebody that's far away.
And so we meet every week for a couple hours. And so we're near the, mm-hmm. the end. And the husband, after, you know, years and years of marriage, said, you know what, you guys, we actually get a lot. Like this week, we haven't fought. First times in years, we're not right. fighting together. And then he said, it's like I saw her as a bee. I'm going to call it a bee because I don't want to say that word. I just see her as a bee, and she was a bee.
She is a bee.
She was a bee because she was, I just always thought she was a bee. And if I kept thinking, she's not your, we kept saying to him, she's not your problem, and she's not your
all
answer.
All of a sudden, that one just dropped in him.
He caught it.
And all of a sudden,
yeah.
Wow, she's my gift. Rather than a bee, she is my gift. And when he saw that,
he changed his heart belief.
He changed.
Yes.
And then he began to treat her differently.
Like a gift.
And she began to look
at him. Respond to her different. Yeah. Like, what are you being so nice about?
And we were chatting. She says, like, I'm just not sure.
I need a little more time to know if I can trust because there's been years and
we're,
years.
We're reestablishing trust here. But,
but this is interesting.
But it has been different.
Yep.
But for him, it was a lights on for him. Just lights on.
Yeah.
My wife is not my problem. She's my gift.
So for instance, have you ever, you know, let's think about what you believe very deep inside your subconscious and your heart belief. What do you really believe? Like if you believe, Bob, that your job is going to be a frustration, it will keep being frustrating.
Yeah.
And if you... I even hear people just hating technology and I hear them say it flippantly. Oh, I hate technology. Well, then technology is just going to continue to not work well for you and won't be your friend. Mm-hmm. Like you have a relationship with technology. Like, are you going to be, is technology a blessing to you? This is, I'm just explaining heart beliefs. We have had families that are friends that continually say, my kids are such a pain. And our hearts just break because we're thinking, those kids are continuing to irritate you and annoy you because you see them as a pain.
Yeah. I'm sure you've heard over the podcast, we have an 18-year-old and he's graduating high school this year. Mm-hmm. So proud of him. I really am. I mean, just so wonderful. Now, one of the big career advice that kids receive.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're getting out of high school.
Yeah, there's no high school graduation happening.
Right, you know? Not so this year. Not in 2020.
There's no speeches being made. No. But if there were, there would probably be this statement being made, and that is, do what you love, and you'll never work another day in your life.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, I like it. I'm sure it's on t-shirts and bumper stickers and embroidered on a pillow somewhere in someone's home.
Yes.
But, you know, no.
I have said it.
Yeah.
Recently.
Right. But, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah. And here's why. Because, in fact, I think that it's perfectly normal to love your job and simultaneously recognize the fact that it is work.
Right.
You see, I love my marriage.
Okay. I love that.
I love my marriage.
Thank you. But it is.
But
work.
Simultaneously, there will be effort.
There'll be
involved.
Choices.
There will be choices that I will make.
Yes.
There is where
even choices of what I will think about.
Yes.
That is a big one for me.
Yeah.
Am I going to think about those things about you, Bob?
Right.
Or am I going to think these things about you?
So again, I want to validate you because sometimes you do feel stressed, overwhelmed, and just purely tired.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you're in the wrong job.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that you're in the wrong marriage.
Huh. But this
because
is so good.
We all feel it.
Yeah.
But it again, not my problem.
Right.
You're my gift. And so we're going to go through this, but we're going to go through this together.
So good. Because you see, I was thinking about this because last Sunday, I had a 4-hour window. It was so nice. And I sat in the sun and I read an entire book by Viktor Frankl.
Right.
And he was this psychologist who was 40 years old when he got put into a concentration camp in Auschwitz. And he ended up helping the people that he was with as many of them died. There was a very very low chance of him surviving this. He was there for 3 years. But anyway, the big thing I realized, he developed logotherapy, where the meaning of life is what keeps you alive. It was that hope and meaning that kept people alive, not how much food they had, not how dire their circumstances were, but it was how much hope they had in their heart and how much meaningful attribute they were contributing to life. Mm-hmm. And when you work, you bring meaning. Yeah. And when I work at our marriage, I can love my, it's not all hard.
You're placing value.
I'm placing value.
Yes.
And meaningful. Like the more we work at our relationship and the more we sacrifice for this relationship, the more meaningful it gets.
So good, sweetheart.
You know? And so, because I thought of surgeons, like you think, oh, someone's been a surgeon for 20 years. Why don't they just retire? Because they don't have to work for the money. They are secure financially. Why do surgeons continue to go to work?
Significance, value.
Because they're bringing value.
Love.
So working, and they enjoy the meaningfulness, not just that it's easy.
Yeah.
So that's why I want to talk about the opposite of marriage is hard. Right. I don't want to do the opposite, marriage is easy, because you know what?
No.
Marriage takes extreme decisions every day.
Yes, yes.
For you and me, even.
So there is no job that is completely perfect.
Right.
And there is no marriage that is completely perfect.
Absolutely.
And so what I mean by that is that without conflict, no, we will experience that.
Well, we will have those differences.
I do want to say that the more you love your job, the more that you love your marriage, the harder you'll work.
Yeah, with joy in your heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there is reward.
There is. That's so good.
There is
reward.
We're
having way too much fun today. Oh my gosh. It's so true. So what the opposite
God
of
God is a reward. Oh man, I love this one. This one just dropped in. God is a rewarder of people. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Whoa.
What a reward. Not only when you seek
And what
God,
a word.
What
diligent.
What a reward when you diligently pursue your spouse.
Whoa,
there is
that's some
reward.
Good. That's good.
Man, that was fun.
Yeah,
I like that
fun.
One.
Because I was thinking of we want to debunk the myth that marriage is hard.
Yep. And I think we have. I think we're getting there.
And we have validated you if you have felt that way. We're not criticizing you, but we're inviting you to wonder. Yep. I wonder if I can change my belief system. Mm-hmm. That instead of marriage being hard, I'm not going to say the opposite is easy.
Uh-huh. But what we will do is, again, I just want you to change kind of your mindset.
Tweak.
And again,
your
perspective. And that's this. We're mining, or we're going after treasure.
Right.
You see, we're going after the deep things.
Yes.
You see, and that might take a little bit of effort.
Right.
But boy, I just love it. Because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Audrey, you're my treasure. You see, begin to see your spouse as your treasure, as your gift.
Mm-hmm. So instead of marriage being hard, the opposite isn't marriage is easy. I prefer to think that marriage is delightful and meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Very meaningful.
And to me, I know it's not like the exact opposite, but Psalm 37:4 is one of my favorites. Delight yourself in the Lord and he gives you the desires of your heart. So on the premise of what you just said, if I delight myself in you, Bob, the desires of meaningful, fulfilling, completion in our relationship.
We can discover these together.
And the word delight even just means to enjoy, to have pleasure and happiness and joy and gladness, enchantment, and being satisfied. And Proverbs says that love overlooks the mistakes of others, but dwelling on failures of others devastates your friendship.
Yeah. Oh my.
And I think that friendships and marriages have been devastated because we started with a friendship, you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage starts with a friendship.
Yep.
But dwelling on each other's failures actually devastates friendships. And so I just want to bring emphasis to the fact that you do, I'm just talking to you who are listening right now, you have a belief system when it comes to marriage. So just think about you. Like, what do I really think about marriage? What do I think marriage is hard?
Think he's a pain?
Do I think that my husband or my wife is just a pain and I just
problem?
I'm obligated to endure this sentence of being married. I mean, that's really strong, but I mean,
what are we?
Right. So the first thing that we have to do is I want to take personal inventory.
Okay.
What's going on inside of yes. my heart?
Right.
You know, rather than, I mean, your circumstances might be very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
It might be hard right now. Mm-hmm. But then again, what I'm responsible for is me. So where am I in this?
Okay. Yes. And so this is a big thought, but I'm going to try and say it. And that's, I was just thinking about computers, Bob, because, you know, there's all these things about AIs, like are all these mm-hmm. And the whole thing about, I want to start a hug revolution. And I'm thinking the thing that sets us apart from robots or AIs is the fact that we do touch and that we have choice and we have thinking and all this stuff. We are very different than computers. However, there is a part of me that it feels like we are like computers when it comes to the fact that we're coded. I think that our hard drive of who we are is coded from the beginning of what we've experienced. Mm-hmm. So if you've been brought up mm-hmm. in a family where marriage was hard, mm-hmm. where all you saw was right. challenge, where all right. you saw was devastation, right. and then maybe you have an ex-wife or husband where marriage was hard, and yeah. even the marriage you're in right now
right.
feels hard.
And all you do and what you've done is you've affirmed. You have reestablished and gathered further evidence that, yeah, it is hard because this is the cycle that I was in and it's the cycle that I continue.
And we are coded. Like, mm-hmm. I really... And
yeah, it becomes that code.
It's our code.
Yeah, sure.
Because I think a code is basically that list of commands that's compiled and assembled.
Well, and it runs...
Into a computer.
It runs on default.
Right. And as a computer is created, the code is like that template or that grid.
Mm-hmm.
And once it's in place... then a computer can handle massive amounts of information, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that for us, we have a template. And once our source code is corrected, then, whatever our source code says, we handle massive amounts of what life throws on us. But I think that we can change our source code. Like, I think that we can rewrite that belief.
Yeah.
We can recode yeah. our, because I think that right now is that, we tend to be you might be listening to this podcast and going, well, that's really nice for you, Bob and Audrey, but that information that you're given is actually incompatible right. with the coding I right. have had.
So what we found I'd encourage you, if you've just kind of dropped in on these podcasts and you really don't know, you know, who we are.
Right.
I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the beginning of these podcasts, the first several episodes, because you'll hear our story, because this is exactly what happened to us. I mean, we believed that we had the best marriage imaginable, and yet we were living through a devastation. And so all of a sudden, I began to take personal responsibility and recognize there's a coding in me
yes.
that is wrong.
Right.
And so what I began to realize is that although the marriage that we had was wonderful, how did we come to this crisis moment? But then I took responsibility and I began to realize, you know, the beliefs of my heart, you see, the life that I had been living brought me to where I am. Therefore, it's insufficient to take me to where I need to be. Therefore, Lord, help me. You see, because I'm not seeing right.
And you're not coded right.
I'm not, yeah.
Because all of a sudden he wants...
Something has to change.
I believe that you, like the one that's listening to right now, I believe that every promise... And an inheritance imaginable that God wants for you. He desires that for you, but maybe your source code can't receive it. And the glitch is the information has to be in agreement with the original set of commands.
Yeah.
And so you want it. So now we're just this, let's pretend.
No, but this is where you get the incongruence between
yes.
what I think and what I believe in my heart.
And what's this being thrown at
yes.
you.
Yes. And so this is the hard part. Because you're hearing our words,
yes.
but then you're just like, oh, but it's so hard for it to land and
right.
be a part of my life.
It's like we're throwing into some software into you right now that you want to download that says, hey, you guys.
Don't reject it.
Yeah, no, but it's saying marriage is amazing.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a
yes.
blessing, a partnership. Your marriage can be harmonious and sweet and simple.
I can believe it.
And then a box pops up and says, sorry, that information mm-hmm. is not compatible with the source code of the program of beliefs. You are not programmed to believe this.
Okay.
Therefore, you cannot receive this download. Yeah.
So I I think you're catching it.
Yeah.
So now do I do?
Yes.
Okay.
How do you reprogram that source code? Yeah,
how do I take personal responsibility because my circumstances are difficult?
Yes.
Okay. And I don't want a hard marriage.
Right.
So for me.
Yes.
Where does it begin?
Right. And we're going to give you four steps to that. And you can download the blog that's going to accompany this just if you want to do further study. But basically, let's talk about how to reprogram your hard drive and make a decision towards making marriage beautiful. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Because again, I'm going to do some self-care here.
Yes.
I'm going to care for me.
Yes.
And I'm going to resolve some of these things because, you know, the world, that's very important to do the self-care. But I'm not going to go to the selfish realm.
Right.
Where everything revolves around me.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to move out of the selfishness. And it was a hard week this week. And I just want to say that because, you know, received a phone call from a gentleman and, you know, that we had known now just for a few years. And he just said, Bob, I want a divorce. I'm getting a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Just matter of fact, you know, and it was a heart that had become indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
But this was what it came down to, and it's she doesn't make me happy, so I'm getting out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden that indifference, and there isn't a real big problem, but that's where the selfishness came in, and you can feed that thing. And it can grow and it can work like a virus.
And all of a sudden, that's all you think about is that just like the thing, she's programmed, she's a buzzkill.
She's a bee.
Or she's a buzzkill.
Yeah.
You know, and so she's not going to, okay, let's go.
So the opposite then is we're going to find out how do I establish love again in my life.
So let's go back again. We're going to talk about how to absolutely reprogram your hard drive to make that decision towards marriage being beautiful. And you don't even, your spouse doesn't have to do it. You can do it all by yourself. Mm-hmm. So the first step one is to refuse to blame. Being mad at the people around you or the situations, maybe it's your parents that weren't good examples. Maybe it's your ex. Maybe it's terrible relationships you've seen. Being mad doesn't change anything. It just keeps you on the same path. So just send away those offenses of the past and the hard relationships that have broken your heart,
mm-hmm.
or that spouse that continues to damage you with their word or actions. Just send the offenses away. Mm-hmm. Don't blame. We can't go to step two until you've done step one.
Right.
You know, you have to master one level before you go to the next.
Yeah. And what has or how has that past hurt labeled me?
Right. You
know, what was the meaning that I attached to it? Because I want to find the, you know, a real truth
mm-hmm.
about myself.
Mm-hmm. Step two, articulate the dream of who you are. Okay. So you're going to ask these three big questions. Who am I going to be in this relationship? What part am I going to play? I'm going to be the one who's kind. I'm going to be the one that diffuses harsh words. I'm guessing, but you decide, even write it out. This is who I am going to be in this relationship.
Yep.
In
other words, don't allow your spouse to define who you become.
Right.
Don't allow your spouse.
They don't
allow
to.
Your circumstances.
Nope.
Don't allow that to define.
And did you notice that we didn't say, what are you going to do in this relationship? Mm. The question is, who am I going to be?
That's right.
In this relationship? The next question, there's three of them. Who am I going to be on this path of restoration? Let me think. Think about this while you're listening. Who am I going to be on the path of restoration to a beautiful marriage? I'm going to be that one who serves every day with joy and just wakes up with kind words.
Hmm.
The next question, ask yourself this hard question. Do I have the ability to have a healthy relationship? Because if you decide, then what you say with intention comes to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Bible says, when a man finds a wife, he's found a treasure, for she's the gift of God to bring him joy and pleasure. This was, you know, marriage was meant for joy and pleasure. So that was step two, articulate the dream of who you are.
Yes.
Number three, make the decision. What decide to think about what you do have instead of what you don't have. Mm-hmm. Because transformation starts with that vision and the dream and the desire, and that reprogramming starts with that dream, the vision, and the desire. Mm-hmm. Because one of the best things you can do is write down your dream, because you're very different from a computer. You get to dream, imagine, and wonder, what would it be like to be completely reprogrammed where marriage is beautiful? Mm-hmm. Marriage is not hard. It's marriage is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Back to the simplest form.
Meaningful.
And back to the simplest form of why you're on earth. You desire to love and be loved, because God programmed and designed you that way, you know, to love and be loved. And then the fourth one is create an experience, because that's how you reprogram your source code. Those beliefs of your heart are lined up with truth, and it's not a one-time use formula. It's a lifelong ride where you just choose to create an experience. And I'm going back to Psalm 37, where it says, delight yourself in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And just like remember, you know, when you remember a favorite moment from the past, and if you actually take a minute to create the experience all over again and remember the smells and remember that favorite place that you saw.
It was really interesting this week. It was Janelle's birthday.
Yeah.
And your mom's, you know, Mother's Day. And I remember I smelt the candle.
Yes.
I had just that instant memory.
You did.
I just went back to a childhood memory. It was really
And
wild.
You enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
It was an experience.
It was.
Just like we create those mm-hmm. memories happen, we create an experience just by remembering.
Allow yourself to experience it.
Yeah, because we can create experiences.
Give yourself permission.
And we can do this whenever we want to. This is the gift of our imagination. It's not a fantasy as long as it's grounded in God's promise.
And so what you're going to do is involve faith.
Yeah.
You are a man and a woman of faith.
Yeah.
You're going to begin to see the end from the beginning. You can create these conversations,
these experiences,
these interactions, the experiences. You can do that before it ever happens. And so you're going to purpose within your heart, you know what? This is going to go well. I'm going to be able to reach their heart.
We even have people practice. We have people get to a place of peace and then with their eyes closed, and then we have their spouse come in and start yelling at them, and they practice being kind.
Being kind.
You can do this in your imagination before. You can do it 100 times.
Adversity,
you get to
I do this?
Exactly.
So I'm going to rehearse this. I'm going to practice
I'm going to do it 100 times. And then by the time it actually happens, you've done it 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
You responded in love.
I know that, you know, many professional basketball players, this is what they do.
Yeah.
They practice making shots.
Yes, in their mind. You can do this in your marriage.
Yeah.
Because your words are simply revealing what's going on in your code, in your heart beliefs.
Yeah. And then, you know, you can then notice, and you can't change what you don't notice. So if you notice, I
react.
I want to rise up.
I feel like being mad.
I want to blame, however it might be. Now you can deal with it before it ever really happened. And you can really allow God to heal, you know, your heart.
And this is what we call creating an experience. And then the fifth one we do is Bob and I, we have what we call mercy markers. Yep. And this is just anything tangible and physical
that's
meaningful
to you.
It can be a screenshot on your phone.
Yep.
You can put 3x5 cards around the house.
A rock in your pocket.
You can
whatever it might be.
Your pocket. Okay, so, but some of the things that I just want to tell you, I want to say it right to your heart, is that you can say this empowering belief. This is your source code. I am a kind person. Therefore, my marriage is full of kindness. Mm-hmm.
I am a gentle person. Therefore, my marriage is full of gentleness.
I'm a joyful person. Therefore, my marriage is full of joy.
Mm. I'm a wise person. Therefore, my marriage is stable and sound.
I'm a peaceful person. Therefore, my marriage is peaceful. The proverb says, can you bridle your tongue when your heart is under pressure? That's how you will know that you are wise, because an understanding heart keeps you cool, calm, and collected no matter what you're facing. So this is really an investment into yourself. It automatically invests beauty and life into your relationships, all of your relationships, parents, friendships, I mean, kids, everything. But you can diffuse a harsh word quickly because your words are so powerful. They are either killing or they are giving life.
Yeah. So don't allow yourself to argue. Don't allow yourself to feel as though that you've got to win.
Mm.
You know, creating that winner loser. The whole thing is that as a couple, we're going to win. As a couple, we're going to find solutions together. You're not my problem. You're my gift. And
you know what I'm going to, I was thinking of all through, as we were preparing for this podcast, I was thinking, what is the opposite of marriage is hard? And I thought of delightful, but you know what? I just think it's marriage is beautiful.
Hmm.
Marriage is beautiful. Yeah. There's sacrifice involved. And yes, there are choices involved to decide how I'm going to see you as my gift. But in the end, there's meaning and there's deep friendship and there's loving each other through adversity.
Right.
And that's beautiful.
Right. And it is the place where love is practiced.
Yeah.
What an illustration of what love really looks like. Mm-hmm. So, hey, everyone, thank you.
Yeah, we love you guys, our friends.
In your life.
We miss you.
In your marriage.
Yes.
And I just have this deep, deep, deep sense of just newness. If you can, just allow things to be new. Allow things to be different. And circumstance may not look that way, but you get to be. You know, I'm going to live different, and I want to live free. And I guarantee you, it will influence the atmosphere in your home and with your marriage.
This is really a recoding situation where you are making that decision and creating the experience that marriage is beautiful.
Yeah, renew your mind, put off the old,
put
on the new. All right. There is a blog post that goes along with this.
Every podcast has a blog post.
If you missed that, just go to our website.
And it's under articles. I think they're called articles. Something
and that
like
is lovemarriedlife.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's there as well. Share this with others. And again, thank you so much for caring. And I just speak peace over you and peace to your home.
We're cheering you on, you guys. We'll see you next time.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.